Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Bava Kama Daf Pei Aleph. We are holding on Daf Pei Amud Beis on the very last line. Tanu Rabbanu, we have learned in a Braisa. Asara Tenoin Hisna Yeshua. When our nation entered Eretz Yisrael, and Yeshua was going to administer the Chalukas Ha'aretz, a division of Eretz Yisrael, and distributed amongst the 12 Shevatim, he set forth 10 conditions with respect to, you know, relating to each other's territory. So number one is, we should be easygoing with respect to allowing, you know, the other guy's animal to come graze in our forests in a way that it doesn't really, you know, actually harm the forest. It's just, you know, growing wild anyways. So we should not be particular about that. We should allow that. That was a tenai, a precondition for receiving your chelek in Eretz Yisrael. Shehu marin, anybody is allowed to pasture their animals b'chershin, in forests. And Rashi says, the point was, shelo yakvid bal hayar al kach. The owner of this forest, you know, should not object. Number one. Number two. Humalaktin eitzim b'sadisei. Likewise, anybody can go and, you know, pick some wood off his friend's field. I think more, of course, later, you know, we'll explain all these takanes in great detail, exactly what yeah and what not. So you can pick wood off your friend's field. Umalakta masav in b'chol mokaim. Likewise, you can pick some grass to feed your animals from anywhere. Chutz mitilson, except for picking grass off a tilson patch. So tilson is a type of bean. Rashi calls it pangaria in French. So apparently the grass growing near this plant enhances its growth and helps it. So it is forbidden to remove the grasses from around the tilson. So that's one exception. Interesting point. You can actually pick a natia. So Rashi explains this to mean removing, you know, a fresh branch, you know, just grew on your friend's fruit tree. You can pick it off in order to replant it or to graft it to one of your trees. We're not makbid on that. Chutz megreif yesh al zayis. So koit mentiyas b'chal mokim chutz, except megreif yesh shal zayis. Rashi explains, greif yesh is a lashon of egreif, a fistful. So basically, if a fellow had sort of trimmed his zayis tree, his olive tree, down almost to the bottom and left just a little bit, two fistfuls of height on that trunk so that it can regenerate and regrow, so you can't just, you know, pick off that mini tree because it's going to interfere with its ability to regrow. So that's one exception to the rule. Next point, umayin ayetze betchila. There's a fresh new well in town, a spring that just sprouted forth. Bnei ha'ir mistapkin memenu. Even though it's in one's backyard, anybody can come and use the draw some water. Tosis explains that's only provided that the person didn't actually make an effort in producing that spring. It was just yoytze. It just started flowing, so then it's considered public property. But now here, mistapkin menu, so the townspeople can draw water from there. Next point, umachakin, the lashon of chika, of a net. You can spread a net, a trap, a fish trap. But yamashal tveria, in the yam of tveria, which we call today the yam kineris. So even though it belonged to Shevet Naphtali, but with respect to fishing, it was public domain. But there's one condition. You can't overdo it. You can't interfere with the, you know, shipping lanes. You can't set up the implant these this structure on the ground of the river, which will hold up traffic on the river. Ve'yamed esatzfina will hold up the ships on the lake. The next point of Yeshua was v'nifnin lachere hagoder. One can tend to his needs behind a stone fence, and the Gemara later says you can even take a bit from the fence for hygiene purposes. Even though this fence is guarding a very, you know, expensive crop, a sada which grows charkim, an expensive vegetable plant, so the fence is very, very important. So even there, there's a heter on account of human dignity, kavod abriyos, to make use of your friend's fence. Umahalchem b'shvila rishus, Rashi explains. So, you know, the farmer, once he's finished picking up his crop, he doesn't really mind that people use his field as a shortcut. It's not going to harm his, you know, his non-existing crop at this point. But once it gets to the planting season and starts raining, then you got to stay off. So the heter, the t'nai was that you're allowed to be mahalich b'shvila rishus. It's called these permissible paths. Basically, you can use your friend's field as a shortcut. Until it's been planted, and then the second main, you know, rain season has begun, which Rashi says is a reference to Yud Zayin B'Cheshvan. Furthermore, throughout the winter, with the mud and everything going on in the streets, you have all kinds of, you know, bumps and pits and all kinds of, so you try to get away from it. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to get away from the hazards on the streets, the dried mud, that are, you know, all different shapes and forms, and you try to, you know, stay clear, and actually even walk onto your neighbor's territory, friend's property, to get by, you know, this hazardous piece of public, you know, thoroughfare. So you got to do that, even though you're stepping on this fellow's property. To avoid the yisedes, these spikes on the road. Next case, a person finds himself lost amongst the vineyards, can't find his way out, and he's surrounded by these vines. Mafsik, he can clip the vines, va'ila, to climb up, climb out. Mafsik v'yerd, clip to climb down to get out of the area. And finally, umeis mitzvah, there's an unattended mace out in the, you know, the unknown, in the wilderness, kainim akainai. So you can't move it from its location. It's kind of, it acquires its place with respect to burials. You have to bury it on the spot. Okay, let's go back and review all these takonis of Yeshua ben Nun. So firstly, we have sheyumaran b'chershin. One is allowed to bring his animals into any forest. Amra papa lo yamaran. That's only, he's not going to really, you know, wreak havoc on the forest. It has to be, you know, with reason. Eladaka. You have sort of a gentle animal, like a goat, a sheep, bagasa, pasturing in this really overgrown, thick forest. He's not really going to make a dent in the forest. Avo badaka badaka. But if he has the ability to harm the area, he's a daka animal, but it's just a very sparsely grown forest. Bagasa bagasa is this big, you know, powerful animal, an ox. Even if it's a properly grown forest, it doesn't matter, loy, because he's going to harm it. Vekoshkin is certainly gasa badakalay. If he's a behema gasa and it's just a small little measly forest, of course not. Umalaktin eitzim misadesim. You can pick wood off the sada that it doesn't belong to you. It's allowed. Why? Loyamar, it's only ela behizmi behigi. If you're going to pick these, you know, just these thorns, bushes that are sitting around on the floor. Aval b'shar etzim loy. You can't just pick regular wood. B'afilu b'hizmi v'higi le'amaran. Even the hizmi v'higi is only allowed el b'mchubaran if it's still attached. So you can pick off a twig or whatever. Aval b'tlushin loy. But if it's already been picked, so it's sitting there and apparently the owner put in that effort to pick it and to gather it, loy, you can't just take it. B'afilu b'mchubaran le'amaran. Even if it's still attached and still growing, it's only allowed el b'lach if it's, if it's still, you know, if it's fresh, apparently you're going to use it for animal feed or whatever. Avo yivashim loy. But if it's already, you know, dried up and dead wood, that you can't take because that's meant for the owner's firewood use. Ubelavachali yisharish. And even when you do take the branches, ensure that you don't uproot the plant. Just pick responsibly. Umalaktin asavim b'chol mokim chutz misadei tils. You can pick grass from anywhere except for a place where tilson is growing, so the grass enhances the tilson. Really? Remember, they mean to say that tilson ma'alula asavim, that asavim are beneficial for the tilson growth? Barameini. We have a kasha from a Mishnah, Meseches Kelayim. Tilson should also imini asavim. So this fellow is growing tilson in his garden. He notices all types of greenery, grass, growing alongside his tilson. Eid mechayven oisei la'akar. He doesn't have to quickly go and rip out the grass for concern of, you know, mixing species and kelayim. No concern, Rashi says, because he's going to do it anyways. He doesn't really want it there, because the asavim interfere with the growth of the tilson. Now, it doesn't seem to be what we're saying. Amar v'yomer le'kash, the answer is like this. All depends what his intention in raising the tilson is. There are different parts of the tilson plant. Kan lezera, kan lezirin. If the point was to raise it for its seeds, which he's going to replant, that's different. If the intention is lezirin, for its leaves or whatever, the Gemara explains, lezera kashu la'asavim, demukachshila. If the objective is for the seeds, grass gets in the way because it weakens the power of the seeds within the tilson. That's the case in the Mishnah of Kelayim. But lezirin, the point is for the zirin, for the leaves and the growth, ma'alba, it actually is beneficial to have grass growing around to support it when it grows. The chikai mibeni is asavim mirakecha. Mirkava. So when it's, you know, amongst the grass, it sort of has something to climb on, to grow on, to support it, and enhance its growth. So, you know, do different types of cases. Yibo yisem, another teretz can be, kan la'adam kan la'behema. It depends, you know, what this fellow is going to use the tilson for. If it's for human consumption, so then the asavim get in the way. But if it's for behema, animal feed, the kivendil behema, the zara, since he meant it for animal feed, asavim nami mibayle. So just as he wants the animal to have the tilson, the more grass, the more growth, the better, the more animal feed. So in this case, we say that one is not allowed to pick the asavim off the other fellow's place. Umanaya didn't. How do we know what he had in mind? Meaning, how do you determine if it was for the adam or for the behema or our papa? Depends how neatly the tilson is growing, how organized it is. Sha'ari mishari, if the patches are lined up neatly la'adam, then you know it's for human consumption. Lo sha'ari mishari, if it's not lined up in patches, just one big mix, the behema, you know it's for animal feed. So we say you can pick, you know, a branch of the fellow's tree to use for regrowth, but in a manner that doesn't actually harm and destroy the, if it's an olive tree, you have to keep two fistfuls off the ground. Pirushav Tancham, Rabbrait, Mishum Zakan Echad, they explained the name of an elder man, Elder Chacham. Bezayis Kebetza, even when you pick your branch off the olive tree, but leave a kebetza, the size of the height of an egg, of branch, still connected to the trunk. So start a kebetza off the trunk. Bekanim, a bekfanim, and a kakala mala. Likewise, if you're picking a kanim, reeds, bamboos, or vines, so you can only clip off starting from the pekak upward. Pekak is this like knot in the branch, right? Sort of this thicker part. So you want to allow for regrowth. That's the way to do it in a safe way. Regarding other fruit trees, take just the ayva shalila, the weaker, less significant branches, as opposed to the the powerful, significantly sized, the meaty branches, in which case you're going to destroy the tree. According to the second Pshat in Rashi, Chudai means the peak, meaning don't take from the top, the middle of the top, where that's the, you know, that's where the tree grew. Actually, you know, that's the focal point of the tree. That's the main growth. Don't take from there. And likewise, be careful. If you want to pick up a branch, take a fresh one, which has not yet begun producing fruit. As opposed to a veteran branch, which is already producing fruit. Likewise, take from, you know, a branch that's sort of not exposed to the sun, which is not going to be so productive. For like mimokim shereis acham, as opposed to a branch exposed to the sun, shenemar. As we know, the sun has the ability to sweeten fruit and develop it properly. When we make it, sweetness in the fruit is from tvoi shamesh, something which grows exposed to the sun. Umayin ayetzi betchila, a fresh spring anybody can draw from. Bnei ha'ir mistapkin menu. So the local townspeople can use it as a water source. Am rabba rab huna benoisin leidamim. Wow, they have to compensate the landowner. But we don't rule like that. We don't pass like that. Rather, they can use it free of charge. Regarding fishing in the Kinneres, you can spread your nets, but don't hold up traffic. But you can use, you know, regular nets and traps. Initially, way back, so the tribes conditioned with each other, that anybody fishing in the Kinneres, be careful not to set up their traps in a way that holds up traffic. Avot sado brishes machmoros, but you can take, you know, rope traps, rope nets, you know, nets, and use it like that without erecting, you know, ground-based structures which might get interfere with the ships. Tanu rabbanan. Once we're on the topic of the Kinneres, we meant to know like this: yam shel Tveria. So the yam in Tveria, which is the Kinneres, bechelka shel Naftali Haisa. It was part of Naphtali's chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Not only that, el shanata v'loy chevel cherem b'derema. On the south side of the Kinneres, part of the land, a portion of the land large enough to spread and prepare the nets, also belonged to Naphtali. So you got the river, the lake, with the bank on the south side. L'kayim ha-shenemar, fulfillment of the pasuk, yam, which is the actual body of water, v'darim, on the south side as well, Yerusha, was his inheritance. Tanya Rav Shimon Lazaimer, Tlushin Shebaharim, Cheska Shkola Shvatim Hinaimdim. So when they enter Eretz Yisrael, anything they find anywhere on the mountains of Eretz Yisrael, provided that it's detached, anybody can take it. Rashi explains it's like any other booty which they took from the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael. It's not, it doesn't relate, doesn't identify with the land beneath it. So it's free for all. U'mechubarim, but something which is growing, which is part of the land, b'cheska sayse ha-shevet, that rightfully belongs only to the local shevet who owns that piece of land. And you should know, ve'en l'chol kol shevet v'shevet m'Yisrael, every single tribe amongst our nation got every type of land possible. Nobody was without she'en loy bahar, mountainous, ubeshvela, more of a plain, you know, the plains type of territory, uba negev. Rashi says this is like a field, an open field, which is typically free of moisture, ubeemek, and valley. So everybody got like a taste, a sample of a bit of har, shvela, negev, and emek, all four different types of terrain. Shenemar, the pasuk described it as Yisrael, pnu, Usulachem boyu harem moiri, go reach the hamer moiri because chenav and all his neighbors ba'arava bahar b'shvela ubeneged. So we have the har mentioned, we have the shvela, we have the negev ubuchayfayam. The Marsha adds that if there's a har, apparently there's a emek as well, there's a valley as well. So we see that they owned all these different types of areas. Chenat amitzu b'kanan meprizim b'mayim shulaf neim. Likewise in the other nation's territory, Eretz Yisrael, Shenemar, Valchosh Chenav. So we have Hara Emayri, and all his neighbors, Almosh Chenav Hachihav, apparently they all, likewise, possessed all these different types of terrains, and likewise, all the Shvatim of Klal Yisrael were able to get a sampling of each type of terrain. Okay, back to the 10 Takanos of Yeshua. One of which was, V'nifnin l'chori ha'geder, afilu b'stei shimole karkoim, So one can tend to his needs behind a fence. Okay, Amar Bachbar Yaakov. The whole point here is not to tend to one's needs. That's simple. Elito Himenu Srur. That a person can actually remove a small, a pebble off the stone wall to use for personal hygiene. That was a special takana on account of Kavod HaBriyos. Amar Rav Chisda, Afilu B'Shabbos. Here's a chiddush. One can remove this stone even on Shabbos. So even though it's Muktzah, whatever, but Kavod HaBriyos overrides that. Mazrutu Chasida, that was his name, Shakal Mahadar. So he used the stone, but he put it back. Va'amar Lil Shami, he turned to his assistant, he said, you know what, tomorrow, Lamachar, so he told us to him, on Sunday, Zil Shark, go, it's sitting there loose, I want you to cement it back into place to reinforce the fence. Humahalcha Meshvila Rishos, Asheter Rejviyashniya. So one is allowed to cut through a farm until the rain season starts. Amar Papa v'haydi dan, but by us in Bavel, where the farms, where the earth is so moist and prone to moisture and flooding, afilu tal kashila, even the morning after dew fell, the field is already can be affected by foot traffic. It can, it can just muddy it up and mess. So therefore, by us, this halacha, this takana should not be applied. So once the planting season starts, even before the revi'a shni, even before the heavy rains, one must keep off these fields. Umesalkan l'tzidei adrachim. Can you say this adrachim? One chooses to steer clear of the pitfalls in the street, the seidos, the muddy bumps. He can walk off to the side, take the sidewalk, even though it entails walking on the fellow's property. Says the Gemara, there was a story regarding Shmuel, Rav Yehuda. Habu shakli v'al l'burcha, they were just walking along. Hava mestalik Shmuel, let's see the adracha. So Shmuel, in order to avoid the hazards on the actual street, veered off to the side, and did the halacha that we mentioned. Amar le Rav Yehuda. So this was, of course, in Bavel, right? So Rav Yehuda asked him, Tanoin Shehisna Yeshua. All these stipulations, all these takanis established by Yeshua. Afilu b'Bavel? You mean to say it applies even over here in Bavel? I thought it was only limited to Eretz Yisrael, was part of the sort of, Chalukas Ha'aretz, division of Eretz Yisrael arrangement. Amar Leis, he says, yeah, Shani Omer, my opinion is Afilu b'Chutz La'aretz, it applies anywhere. Apparently he held, it wasn't, necessarily an inherent, condition within the halacha of dividing Eretz Yisrael. It was a general point that, for the sake of the community or whatever, it's like based on the Nefarshim explains. It's like based on Hefker Bezdin Hefker. The Bezdin and the leaders have the ability to stipulate these conditions for the benefit of the collective good, even though it entails sort of, semi-exappropriating people's, giving people access to other people's territory. So bottom line is, even in Bavel. There's another story involving Rabbi Chia. Havushak, Liva'az Leburuch. Once again, they're walking down the road. Istalku. Letzidei Adrachem. So they veered off to the side in accordance with this takana. But they noticed ahead of them, Havukam Mafsiya V'Ozl. There was a person, Rabbi Yehuda ben Kenusa. He was walking ahead of them on the street. He didn't want to go off to the side and encroach on somebody's territory, so he was sort of hopping from, one bump on the road to the other to try to, keep himself going. He was doing kamayu, ahead of them, and they noticed it. Amalei Rebbe, Rebbe Chia. So Rebbe turns to Rebbe Chia. Why is he being so strict on himself? Who's this individual who's sort of showing off in front of us? He's unwilling to resort to this leniency. He insists on walking on public territory on the street, despite its inconvenience. Amalei Rav Chia told him, Shema Rav Yehuda ben Kenusa Talmidihu. Maybe it's Rav Yehuda ben Kenusa, my student, but I know his motives are pure. V'chol Masav L'shem Shemayim. He's not trying to show off. He really means well. He wants to be machmer. He's trying to make do on the street. Kimat L'gabei. So when they caught up to him, Chaziei. So you notice that in fact it was this person, Amalei. So Rabbi told him, Ilav, Yehuda ben Kenuz Ha'at, if not for the fact that you're this special person that was just described to me as a person with pure motives, Gazir Sinu, I would have taken offense, I would have applied a Chayram, I would have excommunicated you because you're trying to, you know, exhibit your piousness and unwillingness to accept the Takanos. Gazir Sinu L'Shakach, I would have chopped your thighs, Begizir the Parzla with a metal, you know, saw. It was just an expression, basically. I would have struck you with a nidui, but now, you know, you're okay. Hatoya bin Akramim, Mafsig v'yoyred, Mafsig boyle. Next point is, a fellow will find himself lost between the vineyards. He can pull out his clipper, clip his way out. Tana Rabban, Haroicha v'yoyred, Hatoya bin Akramim, just as it applies to a person himself is lost, likewise, if you notice another yid wandering aimlessly, lost between the vines, you can pull out your clipper and get him out. Mafsik ba'ila, mafsik v'yirid. Achim alei l'ir l'derech, until you get him out to the city or the road. V'chinu v'shatei ben akram, likewise a person himself can help himself in the same manner. Mafsik ba'ila, mafsik v'yirid. Ashiyal l'ir l'derech, until he wakes his way out. My v'chin, what's the point of adding this personal aspect as well? Just like you can do it to your friend, do it to yourself. What's the point of adding, obviously? Mal d'tema, perhaps I'll think, no. Chaveiro Yehuda Yoda Leicha Masalik Dinefsik. So, if the outsider notices somebody in there lost, so he knows exactly, you know, how to get him out. So it makes sense he's going to clip his way in to get him out, because, you know, it's a pretty assured benefit. Aval Hud Lo Yoda Leicha Kasalik. But if he himself, a person just wandering aimlessly, just surrounded by these vines, and he's just stuck, he has no clue which way to go. Who says he should be ripping out vines, clipping vines, and harming the vines? Loim nifsik. Rather, he should really, you know, make a great effort to nahadri nahadat beimitzri, to try to find his way, you know, between the vines, on the boundaries of the vineyards. Basically, don't cause any damage, don't do any harm, because in any case, you don't really know which way you're going. Kamashwan, the point is no. You can make any effort to save yourself, to get yourself out of there. And some of Farshim learn that although there's a heter, right, you can go clip the vines, but he has to turn around and pay back the owners to compensate him for these losses. Says the Gemara, Hadaraisuhu. You know, so we cite this as one of the takanis of Yeshua. You let rescue your friend from the vineyard. It's a mitzvah min haTorah. It's included in Hashavas Aveda. The Sanya, right? The Sanya, Hashavas Gufei Minayin. Just like you return a lost item, what if the person himself is lost? This is a mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, Vayishev Esav, you return him to himself. Says, well, you're right. The concept is min haTorah. The kai beMitzri. So min haTorah, when you see a fellow, you know, on the path between the vines, between the yard, between the vineyards, fine. Go give him a hand, get him back on track. But here we're adding another layer. You can do it even at the vineyard owner's expense. Also, who? So Yeshua ben Nun came along, talking. He added the mafsik v'oyle, mafsik v'yerd. You can clip the vines to get him in, to get him out, to get him out. Umeis mitzvah kana mukaymai. The next point is that a meis mitzvah is meant to be buried as is, where you find it. V'ramini, we have a brisa which says hamayitz meis mutal b'esratya. If you find a meis lying on a esratya, term describing like a highway, so mefaneuli min esratya. You don't bury him right there on the street. Maybe Kaihanim are going to walk there. It's not a place to bury. You bury him either on the right or the left of the road. Now, let's say you have a choice. Sadeh Bur or Sadeh Nir. So, you could either bury him in a field, which is Bur, fallow, totally fallow, or Sadeh Nir, which had been plowed and unplanted. Mefaneh is the Bur. So, you can put him into the Sadeh Bur. Again, we're speaking that he found him on this highway. On one side, you have a totally fallow field, and the other side, a plowed field, a near, but not planted. So you take him to the place which causes least damage, to the Sadeh Bur. If you have a choice between a Sadeh near and a Sadeh Zera, plowed but not planted, or plowed or planted. So in this case, again, if Fadeh is near, you take him to the Sadeh near. Hoyish Deim Burois, Deim Nirois, Deim Zrois. If the options are of equal, value, meaning both sides are poor, both are near, both are planted. So then, up to you. Bottom line is, apparently we don't insist that we bury the maize on site. Amar baby, b'mutal ala meitzah. We're speaking that the maize, Rashi says, mutal b'roichav haderech, right across the road. And inevitably, it's going to cause havoc. It's going to present a michshol, a pitfall for the kohanim, etc. It's not a place to bury a maize. So therefore, you have to certainly vacate the maize. The question is where? So once you're removing the maize, so ideally, you know, you bring it to the more optimal place, like we explained, the best of the options. But otherwise, if there is a maize sitting in the middle of a field, let's say, kana makayme, that's the takana, you're compelled to bury the maize on site. Asks the Gemara. Now, we spoke about Yeshua ben Nun enacting 10 takanas, right? But if you count them up, you have 11. Amri, question was, Asara, it's only 10. Hani chatzri havim, it's 11. Answers the Gemara. Actually, one of them doesn't really belong on the list of Yeshua, Mahalchen. This takana of Mahalchen, Meshvila Rishus, so you can, you know, cut through the friend, your friend's field. Shlomo Amra, that was a takana by Shlomo HaMelech in a later generation. Kedesani, as we learned in Ebraisa. Haresha Kola Pereza Ben Asad. So we have an orchard owner. He picked all his fruit. Everything is just, you know, quiet now. Veina Maneach Ben Adam Likanes B'Sech Sadeo. And he still refuses to allow through traffic. Ma Briyes Emres Olav. What do people say about him? Tough fellow. No chesed. Ma no yesh l'ploini. What gain does he have from keeping us out? Uma briyes ma zikas loy. What harm will people do? Why is he keeping them out? Olav akas of Omer. On him the pasuk says, mi yoyis toiv al tikira. If you can be good, why be bad? Asks the Gemara, miksiv miyos toiv atikira. There's no such pasuk in Tanakh. Why are we quoting a non-existing pasuk? In, says the Gemara, actually, there's a similar pasuk, but the same message. Although the wording is different, but the message is the same. Ksiv ki agavan, we have a similar message in the pasuk, which says, al timna toivim ba'alav, biyos le'el yad chalasis. Don't hold back goodness from a recipient if you have the ability to give it. So what's the point of just being stingy? So this takana, this concept, is presented where? In Mishle, right? Composed by Shlomo HaMelech. So this is the 11th one relating to Shlomo HaMelech. V'su leka, but we only have these. We have many more. V'ikad Rabbi Yehuda. We have Rabbi Yehuda's takana. San Rabbi Yehuda Imer b'shas v'tzah zvol. During, you know, winter time, when the streets in any case are dirty, so a person is allowed to export his animal waste out to the streets so that it can be, decompose and turn into a fertilizer. Adam moitzi zivlu shes rab, he can put it out in the street. V'tzoivrei kol shleishim yoyim, and pile it there, leave it there for 30 days. Kedei shei nishay v'ragli adam, ragli behemo, so that people, animals should walk all over it. Why allowed to do this? How could you make use of public property? Sha'al manas kein, hinchel yeshua l'Yisrael sa'aretz. That was one of the conditions, one of the stipulations established by Yeshua. We have another point. Vayikad Rabbi Shmuel b'noi, shel Rabbi Yechon b'reka, the son Rabbi Shmuel b'noi, shel Rabbi Yechon b'reka oimer, t'nai beznu, it's a t'nai beznu, shei zeh, yored zeh sadei chaveri. So we have a beekeeper, and suddenly, this whole group of bees flies away to his next door neighbor and lands on his tree. So Reuven, the bee owner, can actually encroach on Shimon's territory, walk in there, the koitzes, yeah, he can chop off that branch, soicha shel chaver, lahatzel, to redeem, to save, nichol shalai, his group of bees, v'nois led mei soicha shel chaver, as long as he pays him for the branch, it's a takana. Utnai beznu, there's another takana enacted by the bezn, shehei ze shoifich yeinu, let's say, Reuven's carrying a container filled with honey, which was more expensive than wine in those days. And Shimon's carrying wine. Shimon's barrel bursts. Sorry. Let's go back. Reuben's carrying wine. Shimon's carrying honey. And Shimon, the honey carriers, container bursts. So Reuben figures, you know, we have one container. Problem is, it's filled with wine. Let me spill out my wine, which is worth way less than the honey. Let me salvage this honey, and I'll get compensated for my wine. Yeah, you can do that. There's a special takana. You're allowed to do that. Shehizeh shevich yena. You can spill out his wine, hoping to get compensated upon saving his fellow's honey. Umatzel devshane shechaveri, in order to salvage his friend's honey. V'noitel meyena metoich devshane shechaveri, could take some of the honey according to the value of his wine. Basically, he can demand compensation. Another tonight bezin, a similar case. Tonight bezin shehizeh befarikas etza v'toyim peshtane shechaveri. He's carrying wood, something of low value. His friend's carrying pishtan flax, and he's stuck on the road, his animal died. So he can sort of unload his wood, offer to carry the pishtan, and get compensated for his wood from the pishtan. So even though they didn't discuss this, they didn't necessarily agree with each other, but it's an agreement which sort of predates. It's from the time of Yeshua. Shalman Askein, Hinchel, Yeshua, Yisrael, Saaretz. So what happened to all these conditions, all these takanis? Says the one you write, Bichidoid Lekamrinan. These takanis were presented by individual opinions, by Rishmal, by Rebuda. But the Brice, which we began the daf with, right? Asorot Noin, that was sort of an anonymous Brice, which was reflective of the consensus opinion, a rabbim, a stam brisa, and therefore we stuck to 10, which is unanimous, as opposed to the extra ones, which were presented by these individual opinions, which aren't necessarily agreed upon by the other shita. So bottom line is, we started and ended with the same point. Yeshua ben Nun made 10 takanos. According to some other opinions, he added a couple more. When he was Mechalek Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael should be easygoing with each other, forgiving and generous. So you can take your animals into the forest, you can pick the grass, you can use the stone off the fence, you can shortcut to the field, you can use the spring, you can use the kinneres, etc., etc. That was the Tanai that Yeshua ben Nun set forth when Klal Yisrael divided Eretz Yisrael. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.